KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project annual benefit show on Friday, March 10th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Levin Community Center in Portland. Blue Mountain's Biodiversity Project is a forest defense organization that has been successfully defending eastern Oregon forests for the last 25 years against ecological destruction. This benefit features music by A Stick, A Stone, Cinder Well, and Johanna Warren, as well as humor, storytelling, and more. Again, that's the Blue Mountain Biodiversity Project annual benefit show on Friday, March 10th from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. at the Levin Community Center, 5431 Northeast 20th Avenue in Portland. More information is available at kboo.fm on the right-hand side of the homepage under Community Events.
Take it to the beach.
That's what we planned, but she stood me up.
Roxanne.
I wanna be your man.
Roxanne.
And here's our game plan.
Here's your game plan. Be sure to tune in on Thursday, March 9th, just before midnight, as we celebrate a trip back in time to Queens, New York, 1984, as Roxanne Shanté and UTFO go at it. We'll be dropping tracks from the Roxanne Wars and celebrate her brand new hip-hop biopic. That's Thursday, just before midnight, on KBOO Portland.
Well, my name is Roxanne. I don't say no. I just a cold rock, a party, and I do this show.
A mix master.
The music playing is Interstellar Dub by DJ Mad from Portland label Zamzam Sounds, and this is Art Focus on KBOO Radio. I'm your host, Andre Middleton. Today, my guest is Akilah Jaffe, and we are going to be talking about her new art event, Black Sun. But first up, some local art news. Last Friday night, me and my homie, Chocolate Giant, look him up because he's hella dope, went to Deshecta in Kenton to attend the record release party of Bone Music, the latest release by The Last Artful Dodger and Neil Vontali. I'll admit that I would have never thought of an art gallery for a hip-hop record release party, but it was the perfect setting. The crowd was really diverse, and everyone was represented and having a great time, and that was even before the artist took the stage. Dodger sang the entire album from start to finish, and it was amazing. On top of that, she had the House of Aquarius, a performance collective, on and off stage, providing a visual narrative that had the crowd entranced. Truth be told, I've had Bone Music on constant replay at work, in my car, 24/7, so when they performed songs like LLC, Oofda, and Good/Gravy, I was primed to go. The beats designed by Neil Vontali were dense and sonically complex, and are a perfect complement to Dodger's voice and lyrical style, which are soulful in an updated kind of way. Not soothing and melancholy, but urging and pressing. Please check out Bone Music, because it's the next level for real and represents the excellence that Portland hip hop is serving up on the regular. So after the show is over, my friend at Deshecta let me get a preview of their current show in the larger art gallery space. The National Council on Education for Ceramic Arts is coming to Portland, and to get you all warmed up, they have a group exhibit at Deshecta. The esteemed curator of the contemporary craft, Gail M. Brown, will bring The Evocative Garden, an international juried and invitational exhibition exploring the natural and cultivated worlds, to Deshecta. Invited artists include Megan Bogdanovich, Jess Riviera Cooper, Kim Dickey, Linda Sorman, and Dirk Statsky. I've got to tell you that what these artists have done with ceramics will blow your mind. The work is organic, tactile, but don't touch. Fragile and firm. Please leave your backpacks and messenger's bags in your car, because it's a large collection and it can get a little tight if there's a crowd in there. The scale and detail range from the delicateness of a set of teacups to an entire landscape that takes up the corner of the room. The exhibit will be up from March 4th through April 1st, 2017, with the opening reception on March 23rd from 6 to 9 p.m. Visit www.deshektaarts.org to learn more. Akilah Jaffe is a writer, dancer, performer, artist, poet, one of the creators of the House of Aquarius, a performance collective that creates original and beautiful healing dance work. She has danced and collaborated with local artists just like Shanti Darling, Wine and Coffee, Blossom, Miracle Club, and is now working as a choreographer for The Last Artful Dodger, which is why I saw you last Friday night. In fact, I was surprised and not surprised to see her and her crew at the aforementioned Last Artful Dodger record release party, because my girl has been tearing it up for the longest. Welcome to Art Focus.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited.
My pleasure, my pleasure. We met about 2 years ago at an early BCC Brown Hall meeting just before you went to LA for a spell.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad to see you're back in Portland and bringing your creative spirit in full effect. Please share a bit of your background and how you discovered your need to use movement as a large facet of your practice.
I grew up here. I'm from Baltimore originally. My family moved here when I was six, so I'm a Portland baby. And I started dancing at Jefferson High School. Actually, I started dancing at Matt Dishman Community Center in African class. But Jefferson is where I started my training. And I think that going to a school with a dance program like that, that's just every single day, and it really is giving people an option to pursue something that's incredible, and it's not your typical math and sciences. It just was like obvious to me that I wanted to be a dancer. And so I went from not dancing to dancing every single day. And I've been basically dancing at least, you know, 2-3 days a week since I was 14.
Can I give props to living with your art?
Yeah. Having art, oh my God, it's hard. It's crazy. Being a dancer is a really interesting medium to work in, because your body is your medium. So you don't really get to hide behind anything, and it's very vulnerable. And I think dance, the system of it, similar to kind of everything else, teaches you to kind of have a lot of self-critical thoughts, and you're in a mirror all the time. And so it really took me, House of Aquarius and doing the work that we do in Portland and kind of reforming dance and not always doing these like formations and having these perfect lines, but really just getting to be like, how are we feeling? You know, like, where are we today as women? Where are we as healers? Where are we as just like American citizens? And like, what do we want to do to show that? Because we're not always happy. We're not always trying to like, you know, bust a move or do a little finger tut. Sometimes we just need to like sit on stage and hold space.
Right. So before we get too far along, let's just jump to it. What is Black Sun? And give us the details. How can people see it? What's the deal with that?
So Black Sun is a all black play / musical / beautiful original creation. I've been wanting to do an all-black show in Portland forever, basically. My dad was a musician here, and so growing up, I really saw the black community as really strong in Portland. And so coming back from Los Angeles and also coming back from having gone to school in D.C., it's a very black place.
Chaka City.
And coming to Portland, it really allowed me to see, like, oh, we all are here. We just all need to be brought together. And because I grew up here and I've been here for so long and I know so many people, it's really been a gift for me to be able to spend the last year of being back talking face-to-face with people, getting to know them, inviting them to my house, bringing us around each other. Because I think black people in Portland, what we're seeking most is just to see each other. And not to see each other out at a club, but just to see each other and be like, how was your day? You know, what are you experiencing? Because I think it's a really isolating experience for a lot of black folks here. So Black Sun is really this remedy to that in the language that I know how to do, which is directing a show. I think there's probably 15 cast members, but then the team itself, there's visual artists, we have DJs, we're doing an after party. The show is on Thursday at the Paris Theater, which is downtown next to Voodoo Donuts. It's on 2nd, right off Burnside. It used to be the Porn Theater, so there will be some good energy for us to recycle in there. But it is a new story of blackness. I think that for me, as a creator, I'm really sick of seeing the images of blackness that are painted in movies and television and on the internet and all over the place. I think that we see a lot of the sameness. And I think that we see movies win awards that are showing us narratives that we don't need to see anymore. And right. So I was interested in creating a show where we're not talking about slavery, we're not talking about white people, we're not talking about anything that isn't like, who are we currently in 2017 as a black community living in this Northwest city that is majorly white? What is our story? Not what is my people's story, but what is my story as a part of my community as a whole?
That is a very poignant thing you're saying. Recently, I've remarked within my own journey of experiencing art at how the black gaze, I think, is reemerging. I think it's mm-hmm. fair to say that back in the 60s and 70s, the black gaze was very apparent and people exalted it, and it was a very part of the political movement.
Yeah.
So it was basically almost like part of the tool of, you know, beating back white supremacy that was evidence in the Jim Crow laws of the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
And I see the emerging black gaze, or the reemerging of black gays, not as a movement, but as self-definition,
yes.
as a self-sustaining. So when I see a movie like Moonlight, or I go to the art museum and I see they're constructing identity right mm-hmm. now as a thing going on there. And when I see, something like Black Sun happening, I'm seeing art through a black gaze.
Yes.
One thing that I remarked that I've been thinking about is that, you know, movies and music, a lot of it is seen through the white gaze because they hold the purse strings.
Mm-hmm.
Those are the white people in their boardrooms and their testing.
Yeah.
And even though they might let us do it, they are not going to let us do what we really want to do. They're going to let us do what they're willing to
they're
let be done.
They're governing the narrative.
Yes.
And that's what matters. It's
yes.
not that we have black actors. It's that we have a black narrative being told, because I think that it's hard for us to remember or for us to hear that media is, like, specifically Hollywood media for the last, 40, 50 years, has a large part of it. The reason it exists is to create, propaganda images for yeah. us to distrust each other, distrust black people as a whole.
This is a norm that you should be aspiring to.
Mm-hmm.
And the norm doesn't include you as a central
exactly,
part of that.
Exactly. And you don't really exist in that norm.
Right.
And so now I think in the last, 15 years that all of a sudden our media is no longer governed only by Hollywood. And so those of us who grew up watching these movies of ourselves, like, now we're having kids who can watch whatever they want.
Yeah.
They can watch anything at any moment of any day. We see Netflix. Netflix has Luke Cage on it.
They're promoting
blackness in a way that says, we're not going to tell you what you're going to say. We're going to, they gave the creator of 13th. They just said, do whatever you want
yeah.
with this money, because this is your voice and your story that needs to be told. And we're not going to try to take responsibility. We're not going to try to take ownership over it. And I think that it's those type of white people who are not taking a step down or a step aside, but really just knowing their place, and saying, this isn't our culture to take. And if
right.
I need to take a seat back, or I need to make less money this year, like, I think people are starting to kind of see what impact they're having on the black community as, white people in power. I'm using finger quotes.
I hear air quotes. I know this is written. You're going to see that. Who have you collaborated with? I saw a couple of pictures and I recognize some faces, but I want to make sure that we give some shout outs because
oh,
it was
yeah.
just a dynamic group of people that I saw.
So we've got Ripley Snell playing the lead. He is a part of Wine and Coffee. He is signed to the Erst label. He is a brilliant wordsmith, artist, mind, soul, producer, everything. Super amazing. Definitely the person that I was hoping to center the play around. Everyone that we've asked has been the person who said yes. We've
nice.
Got Libretto on it, who's an incredible MC.
Love Libretto.
Absolutely amazing. Black Butterfly is going to be a part of it. She's playing a pretty big character. We've got Isaiah Spriggs, Mikey Fontaine, like Amenta Abioto is going to be a part of the after party. Timothy B and Lamar Leroy will be at the after party also. Medina Ibrahim, like all these artists who are all supporting in different ways and truly coming to the table and sitting with me and being like, okay, so this is what you're telling me. This is what I can bring to it. This is what I heard when you said this about this character. This is what I want to build on this. And that is like the most rewarding thing. Because once we picked all the people, once we sat down, like, most of the work is really out of my hands, and it's really riding on these incredible, incredible artists, like, just magnificent people.
Nice. How long is the run going to be for?
So this first show is just on Thursday, okay. Because the goal of this is to get picked up by a theater where we can have a home, because okay. Paris Theater, you know,
it's a venue.
And it's a wonderful space, and I'm very grateful to them for letting us use it. They're awesome. I babysit their daughter, the people who run it, and I'm really excited to use that for our first show. But if you are like, I need to see it, I would recommend coming on Thursday night. But we are looking to get picked up by an all-ages venue, by a place where we can have showings for Black students, for all students. But I want to create something. I am creating something that can be seen by Black youth specifically, that they will look at it and they'll say, oh, that's also me, you know, like, not just, oh, there's a basketball player. Oh, there's a guy working at a restaurant in this movie. Oh, look at these 17 Black people on stage that I get to choose from, what parts of them I'm inspired by, what things about them I think, oh, yeah, I stand for that or I don't. And really showing our people, like, here's a range of our opinions and emotions.
Right. No, it'd be dope. And I'm going to just put this out there in the ether and see where it lands. It would be amazing if PPS could open up some schools in the evenings, so within the communities, because every school is an auditorium and a stage and lights and microphones. They got the infrastructure, or even Portland Parks and Recreation. Mm-hmm. You know, I mean, they got the summer free for all coming up this summer.
Yeah.
They do live music. They got stages. They got PAs. There's no reason. I mean, hold on. There's no reason why this should be a one-time only deal.
Agreed.
There's no reason whatsoever.
Yeah, and that's why I think we're okay with putting in all this crazy work the week of and the week before, because we all know this isn't the last time we're doing this.
Right.
This is really just the beginning of this, because there's no reason people shouldn't support something like this.
Right.
And if they are choosing not to support it, then that's their own decision. But I know that there's people in Portland who are waiting for a group of educated Black, I mean, I'm sorry, all Black people are educated.
Right.
I don't want to infer anything.
Right. You're not.
But a group of really brilliant minded Black people coming together and giving something that they can't experience anywhere else.
It reminds me of, last year when the August Wilson Red Door Project started the Hands Up Seven Stories, Seven Acts, Seven Stories. And that literally started just on a three-day run over the course of a weekend. And then it jumped from one venue to Reed College, and then went from Reed College to the ART.
Yes.
So there is already an infrastructure and an ecosystem that should and will support this. But it means that people got to turn out. I'm going to put it straight. People have to turn out. People have to communicate with each other. People have to see it. They have to share it. They have to keep the conversation going. That's one thing that I'm thrilled about this radio show and the life that I'm leading right now, is because I get to see art like this. Mm-hmm. I get to continue the conversation. I get to champion. I get to share it. I get to be a part of it. So I am beseeching everyone who can hear my voice, come see the show, share the show, keep the conversation going, and try and get the show somewhere else. You are part of this. You're part of this.
We need all of the support that we can get. I have full faith in the cast to do the creative processes, but this is our community, and we are looking for people who want to help us build roots in it. I refuse to live in a city where I don't get to have a community. I refuse to live in a place where people move and I can't tell them where to go get their hair done. I refuse. Like, I'm no longer living in that reality. So if you would like to come and see some new Blackness Thursday night at the Paris Theater downtown, the show starts at 8. We'll have pre-show, after party, drinks, fun, beautiful people. It's $14 a ticket. It's $11 if you go in a group of three or more, which is the homie hookup. Come with your friends. And if you can't afford a ticket and you feel like you're going to cry your eyes out if you don't come, find me on Facebook and we can talk and you can help me hand out programs or something. But it needs to be seen.
Thank you. Seriously, folks, you got to check it out. So what has the last year been like for you? I mean,
it's been kind of weird. It was a real death year this last year. I think going to Los Angeles was an interesting, do I want to be a part of the, you know, do I want to be not a small fish in a big pond? I don't consider myself a small fish, but do I want to succumb to the Hollywood way of fame and way of getting my voice heard. Is it worth it to me to do this? It was not worth it to me to try to be a part of Hollywood, which is fine, to each their own. But this last year has really been about who are the people in my city? Who are the people who are doing things in this city? Who needs friendship? Who needs family? Who needs to know that they can feel safe and protected? Who needs to borrow clothes? You know, like who really learning people's names and looking them in the eyes, you know, and unlearning all of the fears that I have of Black community from growing up in a city where it was kept from me, right. You know, at such right. a high volume. So I've been spending this last year really being like checking my own stuff about.
Thank you.
That's rare for me to be able to stop a cuss word. I've really been checking my own actions about how I treat people in the community, how I treat fellow Black women on the street, how I treat the people that I've known for years and I don't choose to say hi to them in public space. Like, we all have to be looking each other in the eye, saying, hi, I love you. And if you don't want to be friends with that person, you can find them someone that they can kick it with. But I am really like, find me the Black people, right. You know, bring them to my house.
All right. Well, speaking of finding, how did you find the connection between you and the Last Artful Dodger? How'd that come about?
We met at a couple parties that I was dancing at. We met at YGB. I was dancing for that back probably a year ago now, actually a year ago this month. And then the next night we met at Mississippi Studios. I was dancing at a party there. And we just started hanging out. She's a really, really incredible, incredible artist. And once I heard her music, and I think once she saw us dance, it was sort of just, there was no choice. You know, like when House of Aquarius listened to the Bone music the first time, we cried. Like, we all were like, because I've been dancing for 12, 13 years, and hip hop is, regardless of all the other genres that I do, hip hop is like what I fell in love with. It's what I came to do. So to meet an artist who makes such magnificent music, has such a positive message, isn't like perpetuating all these horrible stereotypes, but she really is just truly making something from her heart. Like, she's gonna soar. I'm so grateful that we even have been able to do any shows with her, let alone have the responsibility of making her, you know, baby come to life. Like, that's her first real self project. So Dodger is, she's the best. Yeah, if you haven't listened to Bone music, your life, I don't know what you're doing. It's on Spotify. It's on iTunes.
I listen to Google Play every day.
Google Play. It is absolutely incredible. Beautiful, beautiful music. She's playing also on the same night as our show, which if Black Sun sells out, you should go too.
Look it up. So what else have you been working on? Tell us about the House of Aquarius.
House of Aquarius is great. We've kind of been rearranging all the time because we're all such close friends. And so this last year we've been like, what are we building? Do we need a website? Like, should we be throwing our own events? Can we do our own shows? So right now we're working on a show. There's a variety show called All Boats happening that Blossom's also going to be a part of. It's on March 11th at the North Portland Yoga. It's above Headwaters Theater. Mm-hmm. And so we're doing that show. We're dancing about nature and oxygen and trees. And we're just doing the same work that we're always doing, which is, how can we get our audiences to sit still for long enough to feel something? How can we get people to not be on their phones? How can we get people to cry? I love making people cry. Like, I think House of Aquarius, our intention is frequently to kind of pull people out of themselves, because as dancers, we really have no choice. And so for us, that's the beauty about doing what we do. So I think we're planning something maybe at Holocene or somewhere in the next couple months. House of Aquarius will be having an event because it's been a while.
How many people are part of that collective?
Right now, actively, it's like four of us dancing, moving our bodies
together.
Who are they?
Oh,
Grace Euchre, who's my sister. She's the best, amazing. She also was a huge role in choreographing for Dodger, brilliant mind. Uriah Boyd, who is a Portland local, and she has been in LA, and I've been missing her, and now she's coming back. So she's also going to be in Black Sun. She'll be singing and doing poetry. And Kaya Bliss is our other dancer right now. We have many, many people, William Ilvesacker, Sean James. We have so many people that have been a part of House of Aquarius. Marquise, he dances for Shanti Darling. We are really lucky. TJ Yale, like so many people that we look up to that we've been training with for years. But yeah, we're also looking for new people to dance with. That's the other thing, is we're always looking for people who want to train, for people who want to sit in the forest and kick it. Dance outside.
Like I said earlier, I mentioned that we met through BCC Brown Hall, mm-hmm. a Black Creative Collective. In the time span, it's been about two, three years. How have you seen the Black art scene evolve here in Portland?
Feels like it's popping now. What I feel like I'm seeing that is kind of a funny bummer, but also beautiful, is that now Black artists are being booked so much that we don't get to go to each other's shows. Because
right.
the ninth, I think four different people have shows. There's four different groups, collectives. And I'm grateful that people are being booked. I'm grateful that people are making money. I hope that people are charging what they're worth. I definitely want to say that as Black artists in Portland, if you are being asked by a white organization or team or someone to do work for you, you need to check in with yourself and ask, is this a move for them to diversify what they're doing? And if that's a yes, then have no problem sitting with them and saying, okay, so let's talk about your budget then, because you're doing them a favor. White audiences in Portland are seeking Black people to help them create an image. You know, you've seen a Black person in every commercial for cereal, on every bus stop, at every bank. People are promoting Black faces because they don't want to show that they're racists. And so I think that out of that has come a lot of opportunities for work. I think as far as the Black people together as a community, what we're creating, I haven't been so excited and just thrilled. I mean, to live in the same city as Shanti and Amenta and Marquise and all these, like, I literally cry frequently about it. You know, like, we are Intisar. Intisar also took the photos. Intisar Abioto, brilliant creator of the Black Portlanders. She took the promo photos for Black Sun. I freak out about the art community here. I think that Portland is the next big city, and we are about to really sort of be holding the reins as far as what imagery of Blackness people are seeing on a large scale level. So I think the art community, Black art community here, is getting strong. I think we're seeking space that we can be strong together, and we're doing it.
That's interesting you put it that way. I was invited to curate a series of Black films for the Portland Art Museum in conjunction with the Northwest Film Center, in conjunction with the current exhibit, Constructing Identity. And when they told me about it, they said it was going to happen in May, April, May. And I was like, you don't mean February? You mean you want me to do something for the Black community outside of Black History Month? And they're like, yeah. You know, I mean, this is when it fits. And so I think that is more evidence of it. You know, if you'd stepped to me 2 or 3 years ago and said, oh, we got this thing going on and it's for Black people, I would have looked at my calendar and seen it shoehorned between the 15th and the 28th.
You're like, I don't know. I have a lot of events that month. Right, right.
So it is really gratifying to hear you say, yeah, clear into March, clear into the summer. There are multiple opportunities for people to engage with this community, and foremost for this community to engage with ourselves.
Exactly.
I mean,
That's what it's all about. And I hate to even mention whiteness so much when you ask me about the Black community, because really it is about what we're building, and it is about us saying, oh no, we can do this by ourselves. You know, like, we're throwing Black Sun, and granted the event is you know, it's thrown at a venue that is owned by Portland people, but the entire thing is being created by Black people, and that's us having faith in what we do and saying we can do it all together.
Akilah, thank you so much for joining us today. It was a blessing. It's great to see you.
Thank you so much.
I'm in love with this woman. Listen, we're going to start to wrap up the end of our show. You can find photos, links, as well as all the guest info on our show page. That is at www.kboo.fm/artfocus. Please find Art Focus on iTunes. Please give us a rating and some feedback. Audience feedback is always welcome. If you missed any part of today's show, there will be a podcast available of this show online later today, and most likely on our Facebook page as well. Don't forget to check out The Last Artful Dodger and Neil Von Talley's latest release, Bone Music, and the Evocative Garden Ceramic Show at Deshecta now through April 1st. It's my goal to meet and introduce the listeners of KBOO to a broad spectrum of regional artists. If you're a visual artist in any medium, I'd love to have you or your organization on our show. It's also my goal to share information relevant to the artists as well. Want to hear of residencies, grant deadlines, call for artists? You'll hear about them on this show as well as on our Facebook page, KBOO Art Focus. We're going out to the sounds of Higher Plane by Danny Skrilla from Portland's own Zam Zam Sounds. Love you, Ezra. Thanks again for joining us on Art Focus on KBOO Radio, Portland, Oregon.
Good afternoon, KBOO listeners. The time is exactly 12 o'clock, and you are listening to KBOO Portland. Up next is Buscando America, and we're going to play some announcements, but also I would just like to let everyone know that KBOO has offered a Bill of the Month membership since the very beginning of the station. Now you can be a sustaining member without any of the paperwork. We here at KBOO Community Radio encourage everyone who donates to become a monthly donor. Our members that give to us monthly provide the most secure and stable funding for the station. It's easy and it's secure. You can set up your monthly donation through your checking account. We can also set up your membership with a debit or a credit card. Monthly giving helps us cut down on the number of membership drive days that we annually do. Also, monthly members are automatically entered into all of our sweepstakes drawings. How about that? Go to kboo.fm/give or just go to kboo.fm.